From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Trapping Radio 2.0. This is Jeff Dunlap. I just sitting here in my kitchen. Our power's been out for, I don't know, I think this is day five, something like that. Anyways, just got the stove going, got my kitchen blocked off, and thinking about getting out, catching some spring beavers, so I thought I'd do an episode. We just got back from Texas about 2 weeks ago and had a really good trip down there. Well, Texas and Arkansas. We were gone for about seven weeks and had an awesome time. We ended up catching 144 cats. That's what I think we caught. That's what we counted on our book, on our paperwork. Haven't got them in a pile. We're still getting them put up before this power went out. I'm pretty sure we got 144, so we'll see. But, I've learned a lot about bobcats this year. The thing is, one of the main things I learned is they're not really scared of anything. You know, if you put like a game camera up on a set and a coyote comes into it and that camera clicks, and you see that coyote look, and not every time, but most of the time, they're moving out of there. You know, they don't know what it is that spooks them. They take off. A lot of times when that camera goes off on that cat just comes straight towards that camera. So much on our cameras that I told Sarah that we should almost start using them cameras behind the sets as a draw, you know. And I don't know, I'm going to look at something. You know, that one of the reasons I think that they're coming to that and be testing that out, because I mean the clicking or the light, you know, but they had a lot of times I mean 99% of the time they headed right straight for that camera. It's something that catches their attention, and but they're not scared of anything. They just, you know, walk around just like they're the cock of the walk. And they pretty much are in most parts of the country. I mean, like in South Texas, the only thing that's going to kill one of them cats is, you know, like a big mountain lion, something like that. Them coyotes are definitely smaller. And, you know, I mean, you get, you know, 15, 20-pound bobcat, you know, a couple coyotes aren't going to, you know, kill that cat. They're going to take some pretty bad damage. So that's probably why they're not scared of anything. They definitely weren't scared of me. We'd catch them, they get a snare on a fence and shit, they'd be on the other side and they'd go launching off and try and, you know, jump right on you. So they're pretty badass. But a lot of the sets that we caught cats in, we'd make like a cubby. You take like a tiling spade and then dig like a hole back into the, you know, like say you had like a, where a road grader went through and pushed, you know, you had the flat spot where you were driving your vehicle and you had that lip up on the far side, like on an angle. We'd go up on the side of there and dig and, you know, dig like a hole, probably about size wise, I would say, probably about like half the size of a basketball, you know, something like that, maybe a soccer ball, something like that, back in, and then dig a trench, you know, right up to it, and then, you know, block the sides down with brush and stuff, and then we give them one access. If they wanted to check that out, you know, we were giving them the one axis. And a lot of times we were using two traps, you know, to set it up where we had one on the outside. I'd put them, say, like on a drag, or if we had to beat down a wolfangs. Most time it was on drags. And we put one on the outside because every cat is not going to step up into there. You know, their curiosity is fulfilled on the outside. They were interested in what you got, but they're not going to take that next step up. They were just curious about it. So we're setting on that outside, and then to put the next one up in case he come in from a different angle than you thought on that outside. If he did step up into it, you know, you had a second shot at him. And I'm sure, you know, some people say, I only need to use one trap. You know, we use the one trap a lot of times too. But, you know, in certain circumstances, you know, I was going with two traps. I want double the shots at them. Because my thing is, I don't care if I only used one trap and I caught the bobcat. I don't care about that. I only care that I come there and there's a bobcat. Hopefully he's in both sets. You know, I don't care. Then I have double chance he's not getting away. And the thing is when we would set that up, you know, we'd use a lot of time down in the hole, you know, and want to make it so they can't see down in that hole. They can just see there's a hole there, but they can't see exactly what's down in there. So I've tried to put it like a little bend, something like that in the back, you know, and so I take like Soul Taker, put it down in there, or, you know, Sarah's Revenge, we used a lot and did really good, catching cats, and we put that down in there and then put, you know, like Cryptic Coyote Gland, you know, Sarah's Dazzle, you know, like a glander food lure, you know, kind of switching it up. And then we put Cat Collector from Predator Control Group in there. You know, we put like, Soul Taker or Revenge and then four or five of our lures, you know, or three or four of our lures around down there to give them as whatever that cat was looking for, I wanted in that spot. And then we take some feathers and throw down in there. It was legal where we were at to use feathers. So we put feathers down in there in the hole. You know, sometimes, you know, we take and get some weeds and wad them up, throw them down in the hole, back in the hole, and then put the feathers on the front of it. You know, just so they weren't just laying on the ground, they'd be on something and kind of move around, you know, getting that eye appeal of that cat. And, you know, we had really good success with that setup. You know, the other set we'd make would be where we'd dig a big hole in the ground, you know, probably the size of a basketball, just dig it straight down in the ground, have a, where there's a backing, or we take the dirt and throw on the back of the hole and kind of pile it around in a, like a set, not a full horseshoe, but around the back, and then dig it deep enough where they wouldn't think they're going to come off that back and jump down in there. You know, I'd say maybe two feet, 2.5 feet deep, you know, something like that. And sometimes it wasn't that deep because that ground is so hard down there. I'd look for a spot where it wasn't so hard and move around, but generally about 2.5 feet deep. And then I'd take and put an angle, just take that tiling spade and cut one tile spade wide trench down into that. And then I would set, you know, the one trap at the top, you know, and make it like a walkthrough. So when they didn't have to step down that trench to get caught. All they had to do was do a walkthrough. And the thing is with them walkthroughs, if you watch a lot of people, what they do is they'll just make when they're kneeling down at the set, they'll make the walkthrough as wide or as long as they can reach with their arms generally when they're on their knees there. What I'll do is I'll get up, take the tiling spade, and extend that out. Take the tip of that tiling spade and pull it on the ground and extend it out. And one of the main features I'm looking for when I'm setting up for, you know, coyotes or cats, especially cats, is a point. Like if you have a road coming down, a lot of people like four corners. Them aren't my favorite anymore. You know, I mean, we set them and stuff, but I like the point where you have the road running and then it turns into a Y where you could go right or you could go left. And I right there is where I'm going to put that set, right on the point of that, or even up off of that point, back high. If it gets higher, I'll put it up higher. So that when they're running down that road, what they're looking at is they're deciding that they're going to go left or right, or, you know, but they're looking right dead center at that set and can see it. And it helps get them to stop at them locations. And like I say, I want to, you know, either have it on the, wherever the highest point on that point is where I'm going to have that set. And, you know, when we start setting more and more of them points, you know, our the catch definitely goes up. You're just trying to get in the head of them of what they're thinking when they're going down through them spots. And, you know, you find stuff that works really good for you like that, and you just stick with it. And, because one spot that we, or one set we put on them, like I said, I would put them on that point, like say that big hold set, because it's hard to dig, you know, you ain't got the angled bank on the back to be able to make that, you know, the hold set. So we'd put that big hold set or a double dirt hole or whatever we're going to use. It was real flashy for cats or coyotes or whatever. And when I was extending that walkthrough out, I would extend that out to the left off that point to the road, and I would, with the tip of my tiling spade, and extend it to the right as far as I could out to the road, and make it at the road real obvious, you know, where the walkthrough was, like it was a little trail or something the animals had been using. And got on video, you know, cats coming right up there, and, you know, they walk a little bit past that, and then they turn around and come right back down that trail. And I had one that ended, and then we went off camera, and I thought, well, he didn't hit the set. He kind of sidestepped it. And then he must have hit, I didn't go extend it all the way out. And like I say, he went off camera, and he comes, and then the camera, I'm like, shit, we didn't get him. And then he comes back. He must have doubled back on that trail because it stopped and went, was going back out the same way, and I caught him. I'd like to say that he's one of the 144 out here. So we got this cat on camera, and I get up in the morning and look, and what, we got cat. Anyways, there's all these pictures of this cat, and, you know, in this set all night, and he got caught like at midnight, and we get there in the morning, and no cat. What we didn't scroll down long enough to see is that cat was there all night, and finally he pulled out of the trap. And it looked like a pretty good catch on him. So I really don't know what happened. He had a back foot catch. It was an offset, and, you know, must not have had him as good as I thought. And, you know, that's why a lot of people don't like using offsets. But, you know, the thing is, we had 144 cats and only one like that got away. So that's a pretty damn good average. You know, would I like to have him? Hell yeah, because I'd be saying, well, we got 145, you know. And and it's another $100 bill. 150 maybe. I don't know. We're hoping 150. We'll definitely be happy with 100. But, you know, the thing is with them cats, it's just that, you know, when you're out trapping them cats, and that's in your mindset, is that's what you're after, you know, I try to look and see, when that cat's walking down this road, where is he going to be looking? What is he going to be doing? Am I wrong sometimes? Most of the time. But, you know, being honest about it, I'm wrong most of the time. It's just, you know, sometimes I'm right. And what I do is the 100 times I was wrong, I just don't do that anymore. When I'm finally right, the one time, I just repeat that over and over and over. And then I'm wrong 100 more times, and I repeat that the one time I was right again. So then I got two things I was right about. And, you know, that's what you're looking is. You're just looking for one chink in their armor, or learn one thing about them, and then exploit that and keep, you know, pounding on them. You know, and that's pretty much what I do. with any of the animals that I trap is I just try and look for one or two or three things that I can exploit or that I see that they're doing. And, you know, then you have success. And, you know, and like a lot of people, a lot of you guys and ladies out there just getting into like cat trapping, you know, it's like we caught, you know, that many cats. But the thing is, there has to be that many, a lot of cats to catch a lot of cats, you know, or you have to have unlimited, where you can catch unlimited amounts in your state. You know, but like last year in Michigan, I didn't even go set for cats, you know, we were getting around for Texas, you know, but, you know, we only catch one where I'm at, and then, you know, you could drive 100 miles away and go catch another one, but, you know, I'd rather just go to Texas and catch all I can. But when I did trap, every year before that, I trapped cats in Michigan. You know, I'd go out. It's harder, really, to go out and catch one or two than it is for me than to go out and catch a bunch of cats. Because if I'm going to go out and try and catch one cat, a lot of times my mindset was, well, I'll just go out and set a few traps. Well, you have to set lots of traps, you know, and to be able to pile stuff up and even catch one. So, you know, I changed my mindset in that I'd go out and set a bunch of traps and I'd rather turn cats loose and pick out a good one than, you know, I basically was acting like I was going to go out and try and catch 100 cats, you know, just to catch one. And one problem here, like here in Michigan is with the cats. You know, say you have a 2-week season. Well, Big Tom puts his footprints there when you get there, and you set because of that. He might not come back there for that 2 weeks of that season, or 10 days, or a week, or whatever you have. So a lot of times, what we do is we'd pre-bait them, you know, to get them working in the area, and we couldn't set, you know, on the bait, nor would we want to, because we got eagles and all kinds of other shit around here. So what we do is just, you know, tie like a beaver carcass under, and they seem to do the best, underneath the tree. If we knew where there was a Big Tom, and tie it up underneath the tree and keep that cat working that area. Because like here in northern Michigan, where I'm at, a lot of times them coyotes will come in, they'll hit the bait, and they won't come back. You know, and you see it in the snow. But the thing is with them cats, it's just they wear them baits out. Once they come in there and they know they're there, they're going to be back. So what we do is set some, you know, sets off of them using, you know, bait and lure and stuff. And, you know, but the main thing is keeping them big damn toms, you know, more in a restricted area than them just out hunting or cruising, you know, around. So if you got a short window of where you're at, you know, for cats, you know, putting baits out definitely is the way to go, you know, keep them tied down. But, you know, don't set on them baits, you know, don't set up close and don't try, you know, you're just going to cause yourself problems. You're going to catch an eagle, you know, and people, you might think it's private property, but somebody will come and see it and you'll get in trouble, you know, so it's just not worth it, you know, not for one bobcat. Because you set off of them and you're going to catch them, you know, they'll come in there and you'll get them. But setting them cameras up, on, them cats, I mean, we got tons of footage. We'll be putting it up on, you know, our Facebook pages and on YouTube and stuff. We just haven't had a lot of time to get to it yet. We like snaring cats. We put them snares in, you know, and I mean, we got a small circle. I mean, you know, I mean, it's pretty damn small. Let's say 4 or 5 inches, and we'd have cats go right through them. We had to narrow them down more than that. And, you know, it's interesting how they push the snare off to the side and go around them snares and, yeah, we had three go through one snare. One cat come through, then another cat through the same snare in the same night. You know, but we fixed it, and you know, we used a lot more blocking on that hole and, you know, put that right down. But the problem we had down there was, is we would go and, you know, I mean, it's getting up sometimes 80, 90 degrees. So, you know, I actually like to body snare them better than I do head catch them. But they could still slip through if you're, because you're setting them snares a little bit bigger. And the reason is if you got a live cat there, he's fine when you get there, you know, 80 degrees. But you got a cat that died at midnight, that's choked out. You know, I mean, he's starting to get, you know, bloated by the time you get there, especially, you know, you run your line, you don't get there till like noon, 1 o'clock, you know, so I, you know, the thing is, if you have them too big, they're going to go through. And if you have them too small, you know, you're going to, you know, catch them by the neck and they're going to be dead. So it's a real fine line there. And, but I still haven't really figured exactly, because nothing scientific with this. It's, you know, just more like trial and error at every set or every location, you know. But one thing, another thing I learned about bobcats, I'm just trying to share some of the stuff that I learned that I didn't know. You know, because, I mean, I've caught a lot of cats in my life, but I never think I'm like a expert or know everything. My thing is, I always want to learn more and be better. And I want, and, you know, maybe it's a little chunk of information. Maybe it's a big revelation. You know, you never know. And that's the exciting part about this is, you know, the learning part of it. And since we started using them cameras, you know, I've realized how shitty of a trapper I actually am. You know, so, but the thing is I never realized how much them cats piss. Like, you know, we set up piss posts for coyotes because we know they're marking their territories and they piss a lot and they're marking this. And because, you know, we're accustomed, like, that we have dogs and see our dogs do it and stuff. So with the canines, we're more. But with the felines, you don't realize how much they piss. But, like, they go through one of them, underneath one of them fences. And before they went through, they would piss. And then they would go through. And never did they, I don't remember them ever pissing on the other, once they went through pissing, it was always before they went through marking that spot and then going through. And we have like a live trap set up, and one cat would come in and he had pit, she would, he or she would piss and then piss again and then piss going out, you know, and then another cat would come in and piss in the same damn locations that that cat had pissed in. So it was really interesting. You know, we used that against them because I, we took, one container of bobcat gel urine, that I make, and it lasts really good in the heat, you know, in the hot locations and the heat and stuff. And we took one of them down there and, but the thing is we started getting some bladder urine that was used up. So we got some bladder urine. And use that, and so, you know, that also helped improve our catches. We had some, you know, bobcat urine to squirt in spots where we, them cats, if we knew they were marking after another cat pissed there, so, you know, we started using that against them. And that's the thing is you know, I'm just looking for something that I can use against them to increase my catch, you know. So, you know, that when you're out bobcat trapping, keep that in mind that, you know, how much them cats are pissing. And especially when you're getting into breeding season, you know, and the thing is I always hear about when breeding season is and stuff, but the thing is some of them, you know, some of them cats, like one was bred, but then you had other ones that were fully in heat, you know? So, you know, the breeding cycle, you know, varies a lot with the, you know, the animals, and it's like coyotes. The coyotes down in Texas, they were all done breeding when we left, or most of them had, you know, the bred over the period of time where we got up to, say, northern Arkansas, and we were trapping coyotes for a predator control job. And them coyotes were, you know, a lot of them in full heat. Yeah, I mean, they were bleeding and everything. So, you know, it's, you know, it just varies by region. So to say that they're in heat here this time of year and this, you know, you know, just kind of watch what the animals are doing more than just listening to people saying, well, coyotes will be in breeding season in February. That is not always true for every area. You know, I mean, they were in full breeding in March, you know, so in northern Arkansas where we were at least the ones we were catching. And you would see when we caught a coyote, you know, there'd be like a male working or males working that outside. It would be all tore up around that catch circle, you know, on the outside of the catch circle. And then a lot of times we'd pull up there and there we'd see a coyote way off in the field that had seen us coming and started running and had left that female in the trap. And but he had stayed there with her all night, you know, because she was in heat. So, you know, and like, again, we started using that against them. You know, I mean, you know, we'd take the, you know, the parts out of the females and or use gland lure and, you know, really just start, you know, using it against them that it was mating season, you know. And some might say, well, why didn't he get caught in the second trap? Because there wasn't a second trap. You know, it was such a big area, like down to Texas. You know, we're putting in cat sets on them points. We're putting in one set and moving. And, you know, you're just trying to chew up ground. And, you know, do we miss catching some doubles? Yeah. But we catch more just putting in the one trap and moving. There isn't a lot of junk to catch. In Michigan, what I'm not going to do, I'm going to set two traps or three traps, and I'm never going to catch doubles here. In Alpena County of Michigan, I think caught one double. You don't catch doubles. We don't have a high coyote population, you know, so, you know, it's hard to catch them. But the thing is I said it, you know, so the coon isn't in the set. The possum isn't in the set. The porcupine isn't in the set. You know, I have always have another trap working. So I'm not setting them generally for doubles. I'm setting them to capture the junk that might come through. And I always got a trap working. And if I do catch a coon in there, a lot of times them coyotes will come up and check it out. And, you know, or if I got a red fox, and I'll catch that coyote, you know, in that trap that I have still working. But if you got one trap and you got a bunch of junk, yeah, it's hard to catch something in a trap that you already caught something standing in the trap. So, but we had, you know, like I said, it was just an awesome trapping season and learned a lot. I mean, we, you know, went out and trapped fishers, you know, for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks out to New York, you know, with Chappie and Wendy, and, you know, just enjoyed our time, Donald, and we had a great time out there. And, you know, then we go back to Michigan and trap raccoons here, you know, for the farmers in the fields. And then we go to Iowa coon trapping, and I was coyote snaring out there, trying out some new stuff, and had a lot of success doing that in the trails. There's a lot of stuff I want to try on that, you know, next year. You know, then I'm trying to think, then where do we go? Come back to Michigan, was trapping here, and then we went to South Texas, and then we went to Arkansas, and now I'm spring beaver trapping, but you can't buy gas here, so I can't get back out and run my line. Jeff Haggerty was up here, and the power went out, so he had power down to his house, so he had to go, he went down and take care of some stuff, and I told myself I'm just going to start cleaning up the lure shop and stuff, and, you know, so basically we haven't been able to run our traps, because, I mean, there's not a gas, there's a Myers in Alpena where you can buy gas, but you have to wait for like 2 hours in line. It's the only gas station for like 40 miles, and then you go outside that, and then the lines are backed up. So, but, you know, we're basically, you know, spring beaver trapping with no spring. The ice is like on the trees. I mean, it was crazy when I never seen anything like it. It was like the ice was so heavy on them trees. And we usually don't get ice here like that, a little bit, you know, in the spring, but it was like a half an inch to an inch thick on the trees and on the lines. And you stand on the front deck and you, all the woods around, you could just hear popping. It sounded like a war zone, you know, with just the trees breaking and snapping. And like, there's a big tree right above Sarah's office here, and the limbs kept breaking off, and luckily the wind was blowing the other way. It kept, like, just barely missing the office, and I'm like, some of them limbs would just bust that building right down. And, you know, I mean, it sucks being without power and stuff, but it's been really, part of it's been nice, because, you know, I started realizing I don't really want to be in this position again, and what I'm going to do is start making arrangements not to ever be in this position again, because the main thing was, is if you had a generator and you didn't have a bunch of fuel for it, you're screwed, because we've only been out of power for four or five days, and then it was only 2 days then, but they're getting in fights at the grocery store, and they've only been out of power, you know, and without supplies for 2 days, and they're already fighting. So what would happen on a major catastrophe? You know, the thing is it would be bad, you know, and I definitely going to take steps. You know, me and Sarah's already planning on canning up a bunch of beaver. That's why one reason I was going out trapping them this spring, to can them up. You know, plus we use the caster in our lures and stuff, but in the meat, you know, and that from the, you know, putting the baits and lures, but definitely going to start making some changes on having stuff to do. And that's one thing I was, you know, you, when you're sitting there, you got a lot of time to think about it, but it's like these antis, you know, they're against killing anything. What's going to happen? I mean, it's like with me as a trapper, I can go out here and catch a possum, I can catch all kinds of stuff, but you need other supplies other than that, you know, to survive. So, but I mean, at least I would have meat and stuff. What, you know, these people are going to be the ones that are coming for your shit. And, you know, just imagine how crazy they are over killing an animal. Can you imagine when they're starving to death, how crazy they're going to be? I mean, they got no problem throwing it out there that they'll kill you for, you know, I've had every death threat every single day. You know, so if they're that crazy over an animal, can you imagine when they're starving to death and want to come take your shit away? You know, I mean, yeah. I, you know, you can gun down some of them, but, you know, it's too bad some of them need it now. But they, that's why me and Sarah got pistols. Because they're that crazy. And when they come for your shit, they're going to be that crazy more. So, well, anyways, I'm going to try and go out and check a couple traps this morning. And I see where the water's at. We've had a ton of rain. It was over the banks 2 days ago. It's gotten colder. So when you get colder weather, the water drops. So basically, I'm going to go see where we're at and let Jeff Haggerty know. So, but, and here we got, on a lethal set, we have no check times, you know, I mean, so we're 100, if we can't get back there till next week, which they can't make you go out there and risk your life, but, you know, I mean, legally we're good now, because there's no check time on a lethal set, so whenever we can get in there, and plus that water's so cold, everything will stay good for, you know, however long it takes for that water to go down, probably, you know, another day or two. So they'll be waterlogged, but we can skin them once they dry out. So anyways, I just wanted to kind of come on and kind of tell everybody kind of some of the things I learned about bobcats, and, you know, maybe it'll help somebody out there. And really appreciate everybody's support, and looking forward to seeing everybody at conventions this summer. We're already starting to get around for that. So, well, I wish everybody have a good day.